So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is, most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how. Hey guys, what's up? This is Ryan Ank with Cashflow Dad Life, and in today's episode, I'm going to tell you a story of what happened a couple weeks ago that is just amazing. It's just truly a miracle. And this show has absolutely nothing, but at the same time, absolutely everything to do with what we talk about on this show. And my hope is, after I share with you this story, that you will see how absolutely urgent it is and absolutely impending and urgent it is for you to take action in your life. If you are not right now, right this moment, living your life that you dreamed of, if you are not pursuing your gifts and your talents, then this story should wake you up to that a little more. So here's what happened. About 2 weeks ago, one of my best friends, I get a call from another one of our mutual friends. We're both members of this health club. And my friend Joe, he likes to go and work out, and then he goes and he swims. Well, I get a call from my friend Peter, and he says, first I get a call and I ignore it because I'm in the doctor's office. And then I get a text from him and says, you need to call me ASAP. This is an emergency. And I said, okay. So I was literally getting checked on by the doctor as I called him. And I was like, all right, what's up, Peter? What happened? And he goes, Joe sank to the bottom of the pool, and we think he drowned. I said, wait, Joe who? Because I know a lot. He's like, Joe Thompson. I was like, Joe Thompson Sr. or his son? He's like, no, Joe Thompson, our friend, Joe Thompson. This is my friend. He's a husband and father of 5 kids. He's been my business partner. He's a lot of things, you know, in my life. And we met each other in college. And so my heart immediately sank. And I said, what do you mean he drowned? He's like, well, he still has a heartbeat. And he's breathing, but he's like snoring breathing. And now my friend Peter is a veterinarian. So he's got some medical background. And so he's like, he actually bit down on his tongue because, you know, he either seized up and he, you know, bit a part of his tongue off. And he's like, they're shipping him to the emergency room right now. I need his wife's number. And I said, all right, well, I gave him her number. I was like, but let me call and what can I do? So I immediately started racing. He couldn't get through to his wife, Joe's wife. And so I started racing to her work. And at the same time, I called another friend, John, and I said, hey, can you go to their house? So John went to their house and I went to her work. And in the meantime, my wife tried calling her. And so my wife finally got through to her and let her know that her husband had just sank to the bottom of the pool. Now, this is what we found out after the fact. He was swimming. He didn't have any preconditions, you know, nothing that would allude to this happening, but basically he had a heart attack while he was swimming. He sank to the bottom of the pool, and he was there, you know, we think anywhere from a minute and 30 seconds to 5 minutes until the lifeguard pulled him out and started doing CPR on him. So I, as soon as I found out that his wife was at his house, I just went straight to the emergency room to meet him there. Now, none of the doctors or nurses would let me back there. And one of the doctors did come out to me and say, you know, I'm sorry, man. I mean, we're going to do the protocol. We're going to do everything that we're supposed to do, but it doesn't look good. Meanwhile, if you can imagine this, I have my friend's wife calling me, who is also upset and has very limited information. The only information she's got is what's been passed on to her from Peter to me, to my wife, to her. And she's saying, is my husband going to be okay? And I had no light that I could share with her other than that he was breathing and that his heart was beating. My friend Peter actually told to me, you know, that I'll never forget these words he said in the second phone call where I asked him to give me a little more information about what was going on. He said these words. He said, I'm sorry, Ryan. I know you guys were close. But I don't think he's going to make it. He was posturing. If you know what posturing is, it's basically, you know, when you're kind of moving your hands and your legs around, it's a sign of severe brain damage. So his wife finally gets to the hospital, you know, and you know, I'm trying to, you know, get everybody to pray for him. And we're still waiting. Just, it seemed like an unbearably long amount of time in the waiting room to go see him. And his wife's crying. I'm fighting back tears the entire time. And then we meet with the doctors. And then the doctors tell us the same thing that they initially told me. They said, look, you know, his heart is beating. He bit down on part of his tongue. We're not sure if it's a heart attack or a seizure. The way that he's posturing, moving his arms around, it looks to be a sign of severe brain damage. We finally go in there because they finally let us back after they do their initial, you know, whatever recovery stuff. He's all hooked up on wires, ventilator. You know, they got him on all the monitors you know, just seeing him laying there, you know, moving around like he's got brain damage, unconscious, was heart-wrenching. So we actually had our priest come and gave him last rites. The doctor came in and, you know, again, gave his thoughts on it. I met the doctor in the hall and I said, look, man, just tell it to me straight up, because what you said in there, you know, was all medical, but I just want to know straight up exactly what this means. He said, well, what it means is, to me, it is not a question of whether or not your friend has severe brain damage. He said, it's just a question of how bad that damage actually is. He's like, the question is whether or not his wife's going to make a hard decision and pull the plug on him. That is what the doctor told me. Okay, and that is the only information that I had. But the process is, when somebody drowns like that, is you basically cool their body off. You cool their body down to 32 degrees Celsius. I think the normal temperature is 37 or 39. I forget what it is, but you basically cool their body down to 32 degrees Celsius for an entire 24 hours, and then you put them on a paralytic, so their body stops moving, they stop squirming, you just let their body be cold for 24 hours. That medically has shown to reduce the amount of brain damage and improve brain function, and that has sometimes been known to save people. And so, whereas there was no hope, that was the protocol of what you do to a person who is still alive when they have drowned. So, I'm sorry, retelling it, I kind of choke up a little bit. So, you know, in this time was the longest amount of time that I've spent on waiting for an answer on something. So he is completely unconscious. His wife is at his bedside 24 hours a day. His you know, mom flies in and she comes by his bedside. I've got his kids. And the entire church community, the entire internet community, everybody's praying for him. And some of you have been subscribed for my channel long enough and you get my emails, you probably prayed for him as well. And so he's got everybody praying for him, praying for a miracle. And I think it was Friday morning, either Friday morning or Saturday morning, is when I asked the nurse that was on his case, and I said, what is the situation? What is it going to look like in the morning? She's like, well, he's got to come off the paralytic, and then we've got to raise the temperature up by, you know, 0.3 degrees per hour. So even after he comes out of this, you know, after he's warming his body back up, he's still got a period of time where the paralytic has to wear off, like an hour after we, you know, get his body back up to the normal temperature. So my wife had all of his kids, and she actually had recorded them all talking, because my wife is a nurse, and she had heard that, you know, you could, you know, apparently audio, even if you're in a coma or an unconscious, apparently you can still hear what's going on. So she, it's hard to tell this without choking up. So she had them recording how much, you know, like basically, "Hi Dad, I hope, you know, if you feel better soon, I hope you, you know, come back soon." And so, so we gave this video to her mom and to his mom and to his wife. And they were, you know, praying with him the entire time, and they were playing these videos to him as he was, oh man, I thought it would be easier retelling it. Sorry guys. We're replaying these videos to him, and they're playing these videos to him, you know, as he's in that process of warming his body back up. And before the paralytic wears off, he wakes up, and apparently he was supposed to wake up and he would be gone, or he'd wake up and he'd talk, you know, one of those two things. And if he woke up and he talked, it would be a miracle. So he wakes up, pulls the ventilator out, and says, "What happened?" And so he started getting his brain function back. It was such a miracle that the doctor that had told me that in the ER, that it wasn't a question of whether or not he's got severe brain damage, it was a question of whether or not his wife would pull the plug on him. That doctor had to come up and see it with his own eyes to see how he was up and he was talking. So, you know, a couple of funny things is he said, He would come in and out, you know, when you're getting your memory back. I don't know if you've ever had a concussion or seen somebody's got a concussion. When you're getting your memory back, you kind of ask the same things over and over again. So he'd always ask, "What happened? Where am I?" And he was kind of indignant at first when we would tell him. We're like, "Well, you know, you got in an accident and you sank to the bottom of the pool at Stone Creek while you were swimming." And he'd say, "No, I didn't." And then he'd go back to sleep. You know, the next time he'd wake up, "What happened? Where am I?" You know, you got in an accident. You sank to the bottom of the pool. You sunk to the bottom of the pool at Stone Creek. And he'd say, "BS, I know how to swim." And then he'd go back to sleep. So finally, you know, another time that was funny, he'd wake up and he'd say, "What happened?" And at this point, our parish priest was in the room with us, and the principal to our school was with us, and he wakes up and he goes, "What happened?" They're like, "Well, you're in the hospital." He's like, "Did I die? Am I in heaven?" And our parish priest goes, "No, if you were in heaven, the school principal wouldn't be here." So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of funny. But when he finally came to later on that day, that was the morning, he was waking up, going in and out. Later that afternoon, he was awake, and I had a conversation with him for an entire hour. And I told him what happened. I told him the whole sad story from beginning to end, like I just told you guys, you know, starting with how Peter found, you know, had called me from the club and told me that he had drowned, to, you know, crying with his wife in the emergency room and what the doctors had said and how everybody was praying for him. And after I shared with them this long, long story, this incredibly long story, he pauses for a minute, just can't believe, you know, that happened. And he goes, "Wait a minute. Did Peter have to give me mouth to mouth?" It was like his only concern was that our buddy, whether or not our buddy had to give him mouth to mouth, is the only part that he was just not sure of and he needed an answer on. And he's back at full force. If you know Joe, he's just got a great sense of humor. And he was joking right out the gate, even when I was telling him, "Yeah, the doctor said it's not a question of whether or not you get your brain function back, it's just how bad it would be." He goes, "Huh, joke's on him. I didn't have a whole lot of brain function to begin with, so it wasn't a whole lot of recovery for me." He's back at 100%. He's with his kids. He's with his family. It's just amazing, and it's a miracle. And the reason I share this story with you guys here on this podcast called Cashflow Dad Life about, you know, making passive income investments. The reason is he's only 40 years old. He's only 40 years old, no previous sign of any heart condition. Now he's had to put a defibrillator in now. But no previous sign of a heart condition, exercises. He was actually at a health club. The reason I share that is because that could happen to any of us. That could happen to anyone on any occasion, is that you could just, your life could be over. Now, I pick on millennials all the time. If you know me, if you've heard some of my other stuff, I pick on them and their work ethic and whatnot. But if there's one thing that they have right, it's their sentiments of YOLO. You ever heard them say YOLO? It means you only live once. We only have one life to live. And Joe has the extreme blessing of having a renewed lease on life. He's had something extreme happen to where he can now sit down and look at his life and say, wow, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. Most of us don't have that traumatic experience to awaken ourselves up to that. You know, why are you here? What is your reason? What is your purpose? And if you're not doing that right now, then why not? Time is running out. You never know how much time you have at any moment. What happened to my friend Joe could be any one of us. So I just wanted to share that story with you guys. This is fresh for me. If you can't tell, you know, I apologize for choking up, but it is emotional for me. He's my dear friend. And actually, we're still trying to help pay for his medical bills. So if anybody's interested, you can go to the GoFundMe site. It's Joe Thompson Medical Fund. And you just Google search Joe Thompson Medical Fund or go to GoFundMe and search that. He's got to pay for like 20% of a pretty serious hospital stay. So you can go there and help him out. But moreover, I hope that you took from this urgent need for you to start living your life now, to start doing whatever it takes to get you to your purpose and to live your life with purpose. There are people depending on you, not just your kids. Okay, and that was one of the things that we saw with Joe. I mean, I'm sure Joe, in his isolation, he might have thought, well, you know, what impact am I really making on this world? I think we all sometimes feel isolated. I know men especially feel isolated, and they think, what impact am I making right now? Does anybody care? Would anybody care if I was gone? You know, with Joe, we had entire churches filled up with people praying for him. And what impact is your community missing out on right now because you're not living your life to the fullest? What are your kids missing out on? What is your wife missing out on, or your husband, if you're not living your life to the fullest? So guys, take that lesson, take that story, take it to heart, and take action today. Do something today that lives, that pursues your dream and really executes on the gifts and talents that God has given you. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Boom! Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out, because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Ank, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.